appreciate a song that wakes you up before I start preaching. That way, if you're asleep, when I know it's my fault. You were awake when I started. It's been welcome again to everyone's here. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. I know we have company with us, as Jim said, so ask brethren to look around. Be sure you share a bulletin with those in case our company did not receive one when they came in. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. So we're going to take the lesson from the text that was read to us this morning. Story about Jacob and Joseph. You know, when someone dies, such a loved one, we use the phrase sometimes that precious memories flood my soul. And when family gathers together, typically the conversation begins, remember when? You recall when they said that? Or when we went there? Ah, the memories. And I think when the story that was read to us, Jacob must have left Joseph many fond memories this time. Maybe they talked about the time when Joseph was given a coat of many colors. When the brothers envied him. Or maybe they talked about the time the brothers had deceived their father into believing that Joseph was killed by wild animals. They said, Joseph, I said, Dad, you remember that? Or maybe when Benjamin was held hostage in Egypt in order to get his father to come to Egypt from Canaan's land. Yeah, you remember that? Or maybe they remembered how Jacob was taught by his father Isaac, and Isaac was taught by his father Abraham. Remember that? But now Joseph's father is gone, and he's at his side. Now perhaps the memories are abundant. But now Jacob has died, so memories abound. Don't know who the author of this poem is. It says, I may never be as clever as my neighbor on the street, and I may never be as wealthy as the other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had, but I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish before my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. And men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad. For then I'll know I've been successful as a little fellow's dad. My children are Christians. Ah. So in our lesson this morning, we're going to look at from the text that was read to us about Jacob's passing and Joseph being there. I said the memories may have been abundant. So the question we're going to ask is, what did Jacob leave Joseph and his brothers? So in your notes, I've listed four things. The things that perhaps we as dads or parents want to be sure our children learn or have been left. The number one, the ability to be forgiving. I want to be sure my children are forgiving. Number two, I want to leave an example of faith. Yeah. So they remember Dad. I remember Dad's faith. Number three, knowledge of God. I want to be sure they have faith. And then last, number four, just precious memories. Precious memories. So number one, Jacob, what'd you leave Joseph? Ah, the ability to forgive your brothers. You see, while Joseph lived at home, Remember, his brothers hated him, and the Bible says they couldn't even speak peaceably to Joseph. Joseph was envied. He was mistreated. His brothers cast him into a pit. They sold him to a band of Midianites that were passing by, and they lied to their father about where he was. Wow. While he was a slave in Egypt, he was falsely accused. He was cast into prison. He was forgotten. But then he was remembered and elevated to a high position. Now I wonder when Joseph was elevated to that high position, he may have thought, boy, wait till I get a chance to get even with my brothers. He may say, I'm going to get even with my brothers for what they did to me, but he didn't say that. So now in our text, the father dies, Jacob dies, and now the brothers come to Joseph and ask forgiveness. The story is told in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Joseph said to them, now the dad has already died. He said, don't be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, don't be afraid. Joseph's saying this to his brothers. Don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your little ones. And then the Bible says he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Really, Joseph? You're going to do that? But that's the heritage that we want to leave our children. The ability to forgive all the mistreatments that they've been delivered to them, even by family. Wow. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Yeah, and I thank God you've forgiven me a lot. Abundantly. Thank you. Now give me the ability to forgive others. I want that to be a heritage. Number two, Jacob, what else did you leave Joseph? Oh, left an example. An example of faith. In Genesis 49, verse 29, Jacob asked Joseph to take his body to Canaan's land for burial. You see, they're in Egypt. And Joseph does that. Story is told in that chapter, chapter 50. You see, now also later in that same chapter, chapter 50, the story is told of Joseph dying. And he requests of his brothers that they don't leave his body in Egypt, but they take it to the promised land, you know, Canaan's land, in the Exodus. And Joseph does die at the age of 110. And sure enough, Exodus, in the next book, the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 19, says Moses, who is the leader after Joseph, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him when they left Egypt's land. Wow. An example of faith. Another poem. Says I don't know the author of this one either, but it says, I watched him playing round my door. My neighbor's a boy of four. I wondered why a child should choose to wear his dad's old worn-out shoes. I saw him try with all his might to make the laces snug and tight. I smiled to see him walk, and then he'd only step right out again. I heard him cry, his voice so glad, I want to be just like my dad. I hoped his dad, his steps would choose, sage for his son to wear his shoes. Then a shout and a cry of joy, a hello, dad, and a hiya, boy. They walked along in measured stride, each face aglow with love and pride. What have you done today, my lad? I tried to wear your old shoes, dad. They're big, but when I'm a man, I'll wear your shoes. I know I can. They stopped and stood there hand in hand. He saw his son's tracks in the sand. His words, a prayer, came to be. Lord, let my steps lead him to thee. An example. The example for our children. You know, Paul said in 1 Timothy, writes to Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, says, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy. Oh, but it dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in you also. Oh, generational faith. Ah, Timothy, remember the faith that was in your mom, your grandmother. See, example is mighty, isn't it? Be an example. You've heard the expression, like father, like son? Or we've heard the expression, a picture's worth a thousand words. In other words, I want to see who you are. We've heard the expression, walk the talk. We've heard the expression, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. Now, don't amen that. It's good to hear a sermon, too. But examples of faith. One of my favorite stories, Dennis Burchett, sitting back here. At his retirement, his daughter Katie had the opportunity to speak. She spoke about the influence that Dennis had on her. And one phrase that she used was, my dad taught me honesty and faith. Faith. The principal of the school where Dennis taught also gave a little talk, Linda Carlton, and she spoke. And one thing she said about Dennis was Dennis always had a joke to tell. Said they were always clean. They weren't funny, just clean. But Jacob left Joseph an example. And Jesus left us an example. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, for unto this were you called. All right. What's my calling? Because Jesus also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. What are we going to leave our next generation? We're going to leave them. Well, we have some examples here. I want to leave, at least in my family, my boys to learn to be forgiving. I want to leave them an example of faith. And then number three, I want to leave them knowledge of God's Word. Knowledge. In Genesis 50, verse 23, again with Jacob and Joseph, it says, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, Joseph's other son, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. Wonder what Joseph taught his sons and grandchildren when they sat them on his knees. I think there's a need today for parents to be reminded to stop and sit down and take sons and daughters on their knees. I take my granddaughters and grandsons on my knees. They can do that. I don't take my boys anymore. They're 40-ish years old and 180 pounds. Can't do that. But I do remember my brother and me sitting on the arms of my dad's recliner, Rod on one side, me on the other, and Dad would read Bible stories to us. Precious memories. So, Dad, what are you leaving your children on? This one point, knowledge of God's Word. That's right. Moses taught Israel different ways to teach the children. Right before they go into the promised land, Moses gathers Israel together and he reminds parents, fathers. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, Moses says, these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. All right, here's that. Word of God in my heart. And teach your children, teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. They'll be frontless between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Wow. The message was, just be sure the message of God is getting to your children. Some people say, I'm not going to influence my child in religion. Well, you're influencing them with your lack of influence. You're telling them that religion is not important or Christianity is not important. You don't speak to them about it. They see that. Christianity or Bible knowledge must not be important to mom and dad. They're not telling me anything about it. They're going to be influenced religiously by movies, television, music, media stars, by their friends, teachers. They're going to be influenced religiously. I just want to make sure that dad gives the children knowledge of God's word. I want to leave that to my children, grandchildren. The last one is just precious memories. What are you going to recall when it's time for my funeral, boys? Yeah, congratulations. What are you going to recall? Oh, I want them to recall some events in life. I want them to remember that we taught them to be forgiving, that to be faithful, to have knowledge of God. Oh, that's precious. Those are precious memories. In Genesis 25, verse 5, it says, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Well, we get an idea or a clue. Abraham, what did you give to Isaac? Well, I gave to Isaac what Isaac gave to Joseph, or to Jacob. And what Jacob gave to Joseph. And Joseph to the third generation. Oh, what did you give them? Oh, the ability to forgive. I gave them an example of faith. Abraham's called the father of the faithful. I gave them knowledge of God's word. Now, precious memories. So we ask, ask me, Brian, what are you leaving your children? I'm leaving something that they can hold in their hand. That's for sure. I'm leaving, but when the things that they hold in their hand are subject to moth and rust and thieves and to being lost, broken, the things they hold in their hand. So I want to be sure that I give them something they can take to heart and take to heaven. I want to give them something they can't hold in their hand or put in a box in the garage. Last one. To get his goodnight kiss, he stood beside my chair one night and raised an eager face to me, a babe to me. And I thanked the lad for being good, hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept round my neck. Then I heard him say four simple words I can't forget. Four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. And they startled me. I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. So that's the lesson. Dad, mom, parents, what are you leaving your children? There's four things that we see Jacob left Joseph. We begin by leaving our children something of value when we become a Christian. And that's the invitation we extend. We sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation at the close of each lesson, a song of exhortation. It's a time that we provide to plead and pray with those who are not Christians to obey the gospel message. a simple plan or formula. If you say, well, what do you want me to do? And simply, you've already done this when you've heard the Word of God, the good news that God so loved the world. But second step in this plan or this procedure is to believe it. To believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. So you want to believe the message of God's love, the demonstration. Then number three, you'll need to repent. Simply turn your life around toward God. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. So I want to repent. So once I've heard that good news message, I want to believe it, and I want to have it turn my life around. Then number four, I want to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. He reaches a point in his sermon where the Ethiopian interrupts him and says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, well, if you believe, you may. Well, he made a confession. He said, this, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When he said that, Philip commanded, the Bible says, Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. In other words, stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. And the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and he went to another city. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. In Luke chapter 15. So that's the invitation that we give. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song. If you have not done that already, if that's on your desire, if that's on your mind, if you want to accomplish it this morning, simply come and have a seat beside me at the close of the...